Howdy, folks.
Hi.
How are you all doing today?
Hi.
That's good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Welcome to the December 16th edition.
Eat my ass. You hear me, boy?
God damn you.
I'm not in a good mood.
Fuck you, then. You're getting sick. That's why you're so goddamn hateful.
Get sick of your bullshit.
You know what you're going to get sick of here
soon. You know what you do? You know what Uncle Bill does, folks? Here's what he does. He struts in here with his khaki pants on. Acting like he's fucking hot shit. I've had it.
I am hot shit. I don't know if you realize this or not.
You dance in front of the mirror, listen to Rod Stewart.
You dance in front of the mirror and listen to I Know What Boys Like.
No, that was actually you too.
No.
You took that from your Facebook page, buddy.
How do you like me to kill you?
No. Dead Pit Radio, folks. We've fucking run out of ideas. We have fucking run out of ideas.
It finally happened. We're completely fucking creatively bankrupt.
So
at
you
this
know
point.
What I say? I say this is a short show this week. We ain't doing much. Fuck it. It's the holiday season.
Two tears in a bucket, buddy. Fuck it. How about this for an idea for a show? How about I whip your fucking ass live on here?
How about I get somebody to squirt on you?
Where would you find somebody like that?
Might be next to him at a show coming up at some point. You never know.
That is fucking hilarious that you could literally be next to somebody that squirts
that's
on
a squirter.
Camera. Yeah. You never know.
That's right.
It's like the shadow.
You can use some of that squirt in your hair.
You never know.
Style your hair.
You never know where the squirter might
the
lie.
The art of squirting.
Wasn't there a pop at one time called Squirt?
I think there was.
I'd forgotten all about
maybe
it.
Maybe that's how they just bottled it up and like sold it. And it's like a beverage.
God damn it.
What the fuck that stuff would actually taste like?
Tuna.
No, it tastes like the water that you pour out of a tuna can.
Shit. It tastes like mangoes and tuna, baby.
Woo, baby. Now, let me tell you something. That dusty gets down, grimy and dirty, if you will. But that shit's nasty.
I think you ever seen that South Park episode where Cartman's trying to sneeze? That's what my reaction would be if I was having sex and somebody fucking squirted all over me. I'd be like, what?
No, I bet you'd be into it.
I'm like, what the fuck was that?
I bet you've tried to make Jess squirt a couple times.
I don't even know how you begin to do that, really.
Well, I showed you the demonstration.
Wait a minute, how'd it go again?
We're going to have to start calling it the D.O.
The Holy Diver.
You just go like it.
Wait a minute, okay. If you're doing that, then where the fuck is... My God.
Well, go ahead.
Where is the finger, the pinky finger going?
Oh, God, it's going everywhere.
Are you trying to tell me... Okay, are you saying that the index finger
the pinky
is massaging
finger,
the clit?
The pinky
and
finger?
And the pinky finger's going in the hole?
No, listen to me, motherfucker, okay. You have to have your hand... Okay. The legs are here. The pussy's here. Your hand is up like that. And your two fingers right here are what's going. It goes up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're really like doing one of these numbers then.
Yeah, you're like, you know, you rest your hand on her lower section there.
Yeah.
You just, That's how they described it.
So you're doing like the five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, kinda. Then they're supposed to just squirt everywhere. It drives them crazy. You do like kind of a hook into their puss.
Yeah.
Then you just... Ah!
Like you're a DJ or something, scratching
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh! All right.
But we must tell people, though, as shitty as this show is and is going to be, it's actually not over when this plays out, because we have part two of the show... Which is later tonight, Friday night, live on Blog TV, Uncle Bill.
And do you know what that's going to be? Do you have any idea what that is? Because I'm going to
be.
You, I'm going to fucking tell you.
What
right
is it
going
to be?
It's going to be the Doctor of Slipponomics himself. Michael Slipcase Felcher is going to be selling off all of his horror memorabilia live on auction.
Is he selling all of it?
He's selling all of it. Here's what he's going to do. He's selling his house. He doesn't want to keep any of his stuff in his house, any of his horror memorabilia. So he's decided he's going to sell all of it out of his house.
It's a core auction 2011.
It is. It's going to be on Blog TV on the Dead Pit Blog Station.
Yeah. So you'll have to join us live 9 p.m. tonight. December the 16th.
I don't really know how many people I want to know about this, because if a bunch of people know about it, then that means that we'll never get shit at all, because people will drive the price up.
Well, the deal is, Slippy's giving me some stuff for free.
Oh, is he?
Put this on. No, probably not. I don't know.
So
he
yeah,
should, though. He should. Why don't we help Slippy like this?
I think that you should probably not go over there to the Blog TV. You really don't.
Yeah, what are you going to buy from him, Uncle Bill?
I don't know what he's got. I can only imagine the amount of shit that he's going to be selling.
Well, he is selling at least 27 Hawaiian button-up shirts. He's getting rid of those,
that'll
too.
That'll be good. I can get some stock in Hawaiian shirts, I guess.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about squirting a little bit more.
Well, hold on 1 second, because I'm sure that he probably does have a lot of Romero memorabilia. That would probably be what I would try to buy from him.
Yeah. Fuck Romero.
Hey. Fuck you!
I want to buy some fucking Toby Hooper memorabilia, buddy.
Buy you Dr. Pepper can.
Toby Hooper still brought out Mortuary. You know what shit his Mortuary is?
Rawr.
I think it's still better than Land of the Dead or Diary of the Dead.
I don't think it's better than anything.
Yeah, whatever, buddy.
Those fucking CGI graphics.
Toby Hooper's Mortuary, baby.
I think that Land of the Dead and Mortuary are about on the same level, really.
Yeah.
And then if you really want to throw, like, Cursed in there, you could add Wes Craven to it. They're all horrible.
What about My Soul to Take? My Soul to Take is actually a little worse than Cursed.
I can't watch that fucking movie now, though, because we got robbed
when
it was going on. I don't want to revisit it at all.
Yeah, that was a bad time. That was probably one of the darkest days ever for Dead Pit.
It's the darkest day of horror that Dead Pit's ever known.
Yeah.
That did suck ass.
Not only were we robbed, but the fans were robbed of the Dead Pit on the Road episode.
Nobody will ever get to see that in its glory.
Yeah, we never got to really record it.
I'd like to find whoever did that, though. I really would.
I would like to find them and get some old nasty bitch to squirt on them. I'd be willing to actually put gloves on regardless of what the bitch was and try to make her squirt.
You going to put, like, those dishwashing gloves on?
I would just close my eyes and, like, think of fucking Breonna Banks circa 2002. They'll be like, oh, that's who I'm thinking. That's
here's what you do. Here's what you do. What you got to do is you got to get in there on it, and then when you get ready to arouse her, you got to knock on it like it's a fucking door. Like,
let me in, bitch. Come on. You know what I would do, though? Once she finally squirted a little bit, I'd get a cup and put some Kool-Aid mix in it and mix up.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
And see what it tasted like. But anyway, folks, we've got an interesting show for you this week.
Wait a minute. I got it right now, what we need to do. We could have pussy bombs. That's where we take the squirt juice, put some Jaeger in the cup.
Fuck yeah. Squirt bombs.
Squirters.
Yeah.
Squirters.
Squirties.
I'd say about 50% of the people have probably turned it off by now.
Probably. But you know what? Fuck you if you have. Because we've got an interesting show this week. We actually do have a little bit of horror news to talk about. Not much this time of year, folks. It's sad. And we do have Blu-rays to review, even though Uncle Bill left both of them at his fucking house. So I ain't going to be able to tell you the fucking special features that are on there.
I'm sorry. Although I did watch all the special features on House by the Cemetery, so I can probably tell you what those are.
Yeah, you ain't gonna be able to remember what the fucking featurettes and shit are called. We're being unprofessional, Uncle Bill. I've had it.
God damn.
We're being unprofessional like all these cocksucking shit-eating podcasts that have followed our suit since our inception fucking 6 years ago. And here's the thing.
Cocksucking shit-ass podcasts? Really?
Hello, cocksucking shit-ass podcast.
Okay, you're gonna tell me what the thing was, though. I'm sorry.
The thing is, these son of a bitches come along. We see posts on here. Somebody called, and I ain't going to fuck, I don't know who you are, fuck it. The Sons of Horror or something like that. Somebody was telling me about, you're going to have to watch out for the Sons of Horror. Or something on, I don't know whose podcast it is. Doesn't matter. It could be the Splattercast. It could be fucking Gut Munchers. I said it, motherfucker. I said it, Gut Munchers. I don't give a fuck. Start your own, do you shit. Why should we care? We did it before. Nobody's fucking interviewed people like we've interviewed. Fuck you. Seriously. I mean, goddamn, the thing is, Uncle Bill, and the bottom line is this. I've tried to get along with people. I've tried to get along with them.
You really haven't ever tried to get along with people?
No, I've tried to get along with these people.
Okay.
Okay, we don't have to watch out for anybody. We shouldn't have to prove shit. We've done this shit for 6 fucking years. People still bitching. Like, yeah, we haven't had an interview in a while. Who the fuck are we going to interview? Who have we not interviewed that'll actually talk to us? Answer me that. Riddle me this. Riddle me that, dick face.
I don't know.
I've got a...
I was actually, like, the other night, I got it in my mind that I was going to try to get us an interview, so I fucking emailed everybody we've ever really tried to get an interview with that's a big-name star that we haven't been able to get, and that included... Bruce Campbell, Don Coscarelli, Wes Craven, Toby Hooper, and there's a couple more people
on. We do have contacts for all these
people. I emailed them all again, and nothing. So it's like, what are you going to do? Those are the only people I really want to talk to.
Unless your last name's Rotten and you work for Shocking to You Drop! Don Coscarelli ain't going to fucking talk to you. Fuck. Motherfucker, I remember that last time I emailed him, he's like, I'm not doing any interviews right now, unfortunately. When my next project comes out, be back in touch. Motherfucker did an interview for fucking Rotten Ass.
Rotten Ass? Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I also emailed on Facebook Mary Lambert and somebody else too. There's another woman on there, and neither one of them got back to me either.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to do, what anybody wants us to do.
We do have interviews planned. We will have interviews. We don't have them like we had them, hell, 2006, 2007. Let's be honest, Uncle Bill. We is interviewing people every fucking week, and that was not smart, because we run out of people quick.
Well, it wasn't just that, but like, what you get to a certain point where... You've done more interviews than are actually, like, the horror genre is moving. There's nobody interesting to interview right now because the horror genre is fucking dead.
You know, a lot of people know who we are, and I'm glad to say that, you know, you had people like James Wan messaging me when we did our Insidious review and really appreciated us and stuff like that. And to me, I thought, I mean, that was one of the cooler things that has happened this year because there's a few guys out there that I see in the horror world that actually has talent, and he's one of them. And we'll have him, hopefully we'll have him back on the show. I would love to get Alexander Aja on the show at some point.
Hell, I'd even like to at some point get Rob Zombie on, even though I can't stand like the majority of the stuff he's done. Still, yeah. I mean, he is up and coming.
I mean, I think it's all three of those are definitely possible. We already had James Wan on before, but we're going to continue to get these interviews. And the people that out there that are complaining about, and I'm going to get this off my chest, and then we'll get in with the show because we don't have a huge show this week. Like I said, half of it's going to be the live thing we're going to do tonight. The people that are complaining about the premium thing, we'll put the nail in the coffin on this shit. Nobody is fucking twisting your arm, making you buy the premium section when it's available. The show is still going to be free every week. The regular show, the new show. People wanted all of the shows back up. I mean, we don't have enough money coming in to buy more space. So, I think it's a fair price for a year-long subscription. You're going to have all the old shows, Uncle Bill.
Right.
All of them. That includes, you know, eventually all of the midweek shows. Every damn thing's going to be up there. You're going to have new stuff that nobody's ever heard play. You're going to have all the convention reviews. You're going to have thousands of fucking hours of shit. So if somebody wants to listen to something, they're going to have a lot of shit to listen to. You know what also we're going to do, Uncle Bill? I thought of this. Dead Pit Jukebox is going to return complete songography of Dead Pit.
So it'll all be up there on the
preview. So it's, yeah, it's going to be an exciting time.
I don't think you've ever told me that. What is the price? You said it was a fair price, but I don't know what to do.
Well, I don't either. I'm just saying it's going to be a fair price. It's not going. We're not going to rip you off. It's not going to be $90 or something like that.
Won't be a $30 photo up.
It'll only be $80.
$75, bitch.
Yeah. But anyway, the people that are complaining about it, to me, I don't think you're a fucking fan of Dead Pit. You're bitching about it.
Yeah. The premium site thing doesn't bother me because, honestly, if you've already downloaded those shows and saved them or whatever, then you have them anyway. You have really no reason to bitch about it. Like, and if you haven't.
And the guy, the one dude that was bitching, supposedly he said he already downloaded them all.
Yeah, so you're just bitching for the sake of being, like, a bitch. But the other part of it is the part about the interviews that you brought up earlier. I really do think at this point in time it would be nice to have another interview, but first of all,
it's a shitty time of year. I mean, we don't get any interviews.
Yeah. First of all, who are we going to interview? And second of all, if we do find somebody to interview, then there's like a 50-50 chance whether or not that they will actually do it. Third of all, when the hell am I going to have time to do that? Like, if you work a full-time job, actually work two jobs, you have a child. My child's like 4.5 months old now. And then everything else. When the fuck am I? When's there going to be an interview?
Oh, well, you got to make time.
I don't understand, like, when that would happen. And if it did happen, see, that's the thing. Back in the day when we used to be able to do all those interviews, like 2006, 2007, I was still going to school and stuff then. We could fucking do interviews any time of the day or night or anything like that. There wasn't anything going on. But that's changed. That's not the same thing now. In order to do it, you have to find something that will meet your schedule and their schedule, and all of that stuff is a factor now. And you got some people that want to fucking bullshit you along for a month. About like, oh yeah, hell, we'll do it at this time, and then it's like that time comes.
Yeah,
oh, we'll do it another
time, 5 or 6 different times.
I tell you what, I got an idea for you. Then I know there are some people that actually listen to the show that have connections to some of these celebrities. At least 2 people I can think of in particular that have connections with these people.
Connect us.
You want to help us out some? Like, you want this show to continue to evolve in the way that
this
it has?
Also involves people that probably have the connections on the internet too. I mean,
right?
IMDb Pro, right? People have that. You want to help us out? Let us know. I mean, I don't know how many fucking interviews we've done. I know people didn't believe when we had, you know, John Carper, George Romero, and Angus Scrimm, and Linnea Quigley, and Tom Savini, and the list goes on and on.
I know, and the thing is, people always want to get on there and bitch about how this show is supposed to be about the fans, and it's for the fans, and we're not for the fans now, or whatever it is. Now, okay, then, if it's for the fans, and the people listening to this are fans, I'm guessing, then help us out. Do something.
Yeah. Help your show out.
Because it's going to be like, depending on them at this point, whether or not we get these interviews or not, because we've tried to do this shit. I know I've tried to
do it. Well, I mean, there's also, like, get the connections in person's always a good way to do it, too. But
unless it's Tom Atkins. You don't want to try that with Tom Atkins.
Yeah, I like to connect my boot with his head. That's about it. But that being said, we're actually going to take a quick break. I know it's been a little bit of a rant, but we have to do this every once in a while. Get this shit off our chest and get shit on somebody else's chest. That's what I say.
That's right.
So, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the stuff we're going to review. We're going to go through some of the week's horror news. And not much more than that, actually. That will be the show this week here on DeadPit.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Welcome back, folks. Creepy Kentucky in here.
Yeah, Uncle Bill.
And the stuff that we're going to be reviewing this week, Uncle Bill. Did we ever talk about it? I don't know if we did.
I don't think we did yet.
We got Blu-rays, two Blu-rays for Blue Underground, one of which is from Bill Lustig, who we did have on the show. We've had him on the show.
There's not many people you can name that we haven't had on the show, to be honest.
The Blu-ray edition of Maniac Cop.
Also, though, for Blue Underground, we're going to be talking about the Lucia Fulci classic.
That's right.
House by the Cemetery.
Which Cassion McCall was in. Who's been on the show?
She's been on it, too. Did you know that she was on the show? If Lucio Fulci wasn't dead, we'd have him on the show, too.
Yeah. If Dario Argento could actually speak English, we'd have him on the show.
Yeah.
I'd give him some baklava.
Hey, guys. It's good to talk with you.
That being said, we do have some news to get to. Not a whole lot, but, you know, just a smidgen.
I'm sure we'll get blamed for that, too. It's our fault. There ain't no fucking
news. It's our fault that the horror genre is completely dead.
You jam a turnip up your ass.
American Psycho remake. The project hasn't been given a green light, but that hasn't prevented many people from sounding off their casting choices for the main role. Patrick Bateman, previously played by Christian Bale. And that includes the American Psycho author himself, Bret Easton Ellis. The author broke his silence about the remake and said on Twitter that I've warned Lionsgate that I will not approve a new version of American Psycho unless it stars Scott Disick or Miles Fisher. And I'm willing to bet it's not going to star either of those douchebags.
Probably not. I don't know who those guys are.
I don't either. But it's always interesting to get an artsy-fartsy perspective from the author. You know what I always hated, though? Like, I know people love Stephen King and shit like that. And I like Stephen King. I mean, he's definitely created some amazing stories and stuff over the years. But the fans of Stephen King, the Kingites, if you will, don't have their own opinion on anything. They kind of take his opinion, especially when it comes to The Shining. Like, okay, he hates The Shining adaptation. And it's okay if you didn't like it. But, come on, you didn't like it and you think that shitty fucking made-for-TV adaptation is better than the Kubrick version? Come on. Seriously.
What was that one, though? Who's the star of that one? The Shining?
Oh, fuck. Who cares? I don't know.
I can't remember now either.
Some douchebag.
That is true, though, about Stephen King. People that follow Stephen King, is they generally, like, do follow whatever it is he says about the movies. I would be curious, though, and I wonder if he's ever done this. I'm sure somebody will write in and tell us if he's ever made a list of, like, from his favorites to his least favorites of, like, all the film adaptations of his work. You
know? Who knows?
I'd be curious where Christine falls in that. Have you ever heard him talk about Christine? Like, if he likes that movie or hates it, or what his thoughts are on it.
No.
Was
Christine like a full length novel?
I honestly don't know. I think it was. Yeah,
I'm not a big you know, I don't really read a whole lot of Stephen King stuff, so.
I would be curious. There's certain movies of his that I never, ever hear him talk about that I would be curious to see what he would say about
it. They did have a special edition of Christine out on DVD. Did they have anything from him on it?
I don't think so. I don't remember him being involved in it at all.
Him say that, like, I think Stand By Me was one of his favorite.
I was thinking, because I can think of the ones he said that he really likes. I know he likes Cujo. I know he likes Misery. I know he likes Stand By Me. I know he likes The Shawshank Redemption.
I do know that Shawshank and Stand By Me is almost exactly like the real movie. I mean, the movie itself. Like, those are pretty much to a T, because I've actually read that book.
That was his first.
Yeah.
First one that they adapted into a film, I think. But there's those ones like Christine that you just never hear him say anything about. And I don't really.
Christine!
Yeah!
16!
She's been around, but she's a fucking car.
Yeah.
All right. So, what the hell is this? Hellfest The Descent. Director Neil Marshall is in early talks to helm the slasher flick for CBS Films. Apparently it's called Hellfest The Descent. The story follows...
I think it's just called Hellfest.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry. Hellfest, and then it's The Descent director, Neil Marshall. Okay. The story follows a costume killer who systematically slaughters the unsuspecting visitors who come to a theme park on Halloween night. William Pinnock and Chris Say pen the script, and the film is expected to be not only Marshall's next movie, but a potential franchise launcher. Gail Ann Hurd will produce, and shooting will kick off next summer. Gail Ann Hurd, of course, associated with a lot of the Wes Craven movies as well.
Yeah, I think Neil Marshall is better doing stuff like this than his last attempt at a movie, which was pretty pathetic, or his last big-budget attempt at a movie. I didn't see Centurion.
I've got that, actually, but I've never watched it.
I've never had a desire to see that.
But I guess you're talking about Doomsday, though?
Yeah.
Oh, God almighty.
That was one of the stupidest movies ever.
It was really like...
I can't believe they gave him such a big budget for such a piece of shit.
It was painful to watch that movie, because you're like, this is a giant fucking turd. Like, when you realize that as you're watching it. It's like a huge flop of a movie.
Yeah. Sometimes, if you give guys like that too much money... Like with The Descent. The Descent didn't have hardly any budget. I mean, probably like a small fraction of the budget they had for Doomsday. And that's all he needed. He didn't need this big fucking overblown bullshit budget, you know. But The Descent was just a bad idea. Or, I mean, the Doomsday movie was just a bad idea anyway.
I can't really figure out what the Doomsday movie was supposed to be other than like a rip off of the Road Warrior.
That's exactly what it was. What else was it?
That's just kind of sad, really, though.
But Neil Marshall, man, when it comes to The Descent, that movie, that's his fucking masterpiece. I don't know if he'll ever...
I was going to say, that's another guy, though, that I would like to get for an interview, but, like, I think he's in England, so I don't know how...
I think we could get him for an interview.
There's a lot of people, I think, that we could possibly get, but, it's a long process.
And the thing is, if it's somebody like that, and if the schedule doesn't work out... I would be willing to do the interview if you couldn't do it. I mean, I'd probably be scared to death because I've never done that before, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that needs to happen, I guess.
Maybe I could get Steve on there with me.
I think you should.
Steve wouldn't say nothing. It'd be just like me being on there by myself.
Yeah, that's mean.
I'd at least have Steve in the background knowing he was there listening.
Yeah. He'd be laughing. Love me.
Yeah. Steve.
We love you, Steve.
The Collection, Uncle Bill. Liddell Entertainment. That's Chuck Liddell's company, by the way.
It probably is.
Announced today that Marcus Dunson follow-up to 2009's Collector will get distribution via their new company, LD Distribution. The sequel, starring Josh Stewart, Lee Tergesen, Christopher McDonald, and Emma Fitzpatrick, was previously described as Arkin escapes with his life from the vicious grips of the Collector during an entrapment party where he adds the beautiful Alina to his collection. Instead of recovering from the trauma, Arkin is suddenly abducted from the hospital by mercenaries hired by Alina's wealthy father. Arkin is blackmailed to team up with the mercenaries and track down the collector's booby-trapped hideout to save Alina from his sadistic rituals. This movie sounds fucking horrible.
It does, really. I don't know why it's on here, actually.
Well, it was something to talk about, Uncle Bill. The Collector, I didn't like that movie too much.
That's one I was told you I want to go back and watch it, because people still talk about it to this day. It's like their top 10 films of the last 10 years.
I mean, it was watchable, but I didn't think it was anything special. Ooh. And the sequel definitely sounds like a big clusterfuck.
It's an entrapment party.
Yeah.
It's a Collector.
Yeah.
I tell you somebody else I tried to get an interview with. I actually sent him an email. Never heard shit back from him.
Who?
I'll tell you somebody else. Because I'm going to go on about this the whole fucking show. Ty West. I want to talk to him.
I actually got a reply from him. It was a brief one. And he just wanted to know, like, how are you going to do the interview? How you want to do the interview and stuff like that? And then he just didn't, after I responded and told him how, he just never replied back.
Oh, you want to talk to me? Fuck you.
He's like, I'm a basic motherfucker. I did the roast.
Yeah. So, you see the kind of things that we have to deal with on
so it's not like
a weekly basis.
Yeah, it's not like we don't try.
So, anyway.
What you got over there, Uncle Bill?
We should get back to this shit. I'd say most people are probably familiar with Elite Entertainment. They're a highly respected DVD manufacturing company.
Yeah, they kind of quit for a while, though.
But they're back now, and they're going to step into the world of high def with two new releases and Blu-ray editions. One of them being a cult classic and one that has some amazing special effects, The Deadly Spawn. You remember The Deadly Spawn?
I do. It is amazing, kind of.
It is, in a way. It's a horrible, horrible movie, but the monster effects in it are absolutely some of the best. It's the plot centers around two campers in New Jersey have their outdoor fun interrupted by the arrival of a meteorite crashing nearby. They go to investigate, but are suddenly attacked and devoured by alien parasites who have hitched a ride to Earth. After finishing off the campers, the hungry monsters head for a nearby town where they make their domain in the basement of an old house and soon begin polishing off one hapless inhabitant after another. So, holla.
You gonna polish off my dong?
The bonus materials in this include a commentary, casting footage, gag reel, theatrical trailer, enhanced opening scene. It's enhanced because you're going to smoke marijuana before you watch it. Oh, this is nice. And television review footage and more. The other one, though, the other Blu-ray they released.
That's not, no, you're getting it mixed up. It's a different story.
Oh, okay. That's the only Blu-ray they released.
That's one they've announced. That's the only one they've announced.
There you go.
The other one isn't a Blu-ray. It's actually not even come out yet. So what do you think about The Deadly Spawn being on Blu-ray, Uncle Bill?
I think that that's a movie that probably could benefit from being on Blu-ray because the colors and everything in it are so, even in the DVD, are very, very vivid. And it's basically an effects-based movie anyway. It's all around the little alien parasites that are on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key is if they're actually going to go and remaster it. I mean, that's the, because that's a problem I think Image had with some of their Blu-rays. It's like, you know, it, I mean, there was a couple that were actually really good, like Basket Case. But, you know, the Midnight, what is it called? Midnight Madness Collection or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
That was like a complete mess. Because I don't know where they got their source material at, but it was shit.
That was horrible. That was like The Hills Have Eyes and all that stuff.
So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, The Deadly Spawn's fine. I mean, it's nothing that I think, if I was a Blu-ray company or a DVD company, it wouldn't be my flagship movie to actually come out on DVD or Blu-ray.
A lot of people like it, though. It is a cult film. It's definitely got a cult following.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll just have to see.
I think
wonder what Don May Jr. thinks about that, because he actually released the DVD of it.
I guess the rights just reverted back to Elite or something, or they picked them up again. I don't know what happened with it. But I think the effects work in that film actually kind of still does hold up to this day, really. Which is, well, some of it does. I'll say that. The monster effects do.
Yeah, they're monstrous. The Wicker Tree, Uncle Bill, Robin Hardy's long-awaited companion piece to The Wicker Man from 1973. We're not talking about the Nicolas Cage remake.
Why not? We ought to do a drunken commentary over that. Holy shit, that'd be hilarious.
We probably could. I've got that one on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But the movie itself, The Wicker Tree, hits theaters via Anchor Bay Films, which means it'll probably be in about four theaters on January 27th. But there's actually an official one sheet that's out that looks pretty good. The movie, though, the plot is when two young missionaries, played by Britannia Nicole and Henry Garrett, head to Scotland. They're initially charmed by the engaging Baron Sir Lochan Morrison, played by Graham McTavish. Try saying that line five times quick, it'd be impossible. And agree to become the local Queen of the May and Laddie for the annual Tresick Town Festival. That's another wicked line for you. But the couple is not prepared for the frightening consequences of their decision and the very disturbing secrets they're about to discover about Tresick's seemingly friendly town people. Hardy penned and directed the follow-up, which also stars Jacqueline Lenard, Honeythuckle Weeks, Clive Russell, and Christopher Lee, the star of the original Wicker Man.
Woo!
So, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. I don't know why somebody would wait almost 40 fucking years to release a sequel to a cult movie that was never a big hit when it came out anyway.
I don't really know either, other than the fact I guess it just has enough of a following.
I love The Wicker Man. That movie's actually a killer, but
it's completely different.
Yeah, but fuck, I mean, how can you wait 40 years to do a damn sequel for something? No, it's not, and it's actually going to be a sequel, kind of.
Iron Maiden will have another song for a new album.
Yeah. The Wicker Tree! It's going to go.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, that's one of those movies, too. People, they seem to forget a movie like that, like, even looking over here, like Cannibal Holocaust. Those movies are always, like, products of the specific time that they're in. Like, you could never make another movie like The Wicker Man. It's just not going, it won't work.
Well, Robin Hardy's going to try.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if he's made another movie since then. I don't think he has.
I'm not sure either.
So, that'll be interesting. But that is it for the news this week, Uncle Bill. What do you think?
That was a very short portion of the news.
It was shitty, wasn't it?
That news portion sucked ass. Is that our fault?
No, it's actually pretty good. I think we made it entertaining enough.
Yeah, we always make it entertaining. We take shit and turn it into gold.
That's right. So we are the syrup on life's asshole.
We were... That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it, though, for the news portion. You got any films?
No.
God damn. God,
it ain't on there, so. What the fuck is coming out in theaters anyway? Like, I know there's not any horror movies coming out.
The next one I know is coming out is that one called, there is actually a horror film coming out. The Devil Inside is coming out within the next, if it's not already out, actually. Next 2 weeks.
The Devil Inside?
The Devil Inside, oh, okay. Which is an exorcism movie. Oh, we saw the preview for it, I think.
Man,
it's the one where
it's
the
coming out this weekend.
The one where the woman gets possessed by, I think she's possessed by four or five different demons, and then she's locked up into a mental asylum, and her daughter comes there to visit her, and then they try to show the exorcism and all.
She's possessed by Satan's penis.
Yeah.
Something else that was completely unrelated to horror. I don't know if you actually saw it. Did you see the new Three Stooges trailer that's out there?
Yeah, I did.
Your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I don't really understand why they would want to make a movie like that now. Like, it's supposed to be, I guess, just like a sequel to the shorts, like a real comedy reimagining of the Three Stooges. And I'm like, it really doesn't, at least the trailer part of it doesn't work. It doesn't seem to capture anything about the Three Stooges other than the physical violence stuff. I mean, like a lot of people have said, if you wanted to do a movie about the Three Stooges, why not try to do like a documentary about the fucking Three Stooges?
Well, not even the documentary. What the fuck? Like, oh God. Okay, first of all, Will Sasso. Really? Fucking Will Sasso. What has he ever done?
Mad TV. And he was in WCW.
What has he ever done?
He was in WCW for a while.
That's, I still answer my question.
Well, you ask.
Second of all, the Three Stooges has such a great, like, biography of their career, of how, you know, right before, you know, probably about 5 or 6 years before they died, nobody gave a fuck about them. And at one point, they were making the studio a ton of money. So I think the way they should have went with this, and they could have taken a serious approach to the movie, do like a biopic, you know, like they do with a lot of, I don't know if they did the Andy Kaufman movie, similar to that. You know, do a, not really a documentary, but a kind of a docudrama, I guess, about the life of the Three Stooges. And I know they did like a low budget, and I'm going to mention, I should not even mention this, but I'm going to mention it because I know somebody will fucking say, hey, they did do something like that. I know they did, but it was a low-budget TV movie that was, like, not that very well done at all. I actually think Michael Chiklis was fucking Curly in it.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Have you ever seen that one movie, though, that was based on the Three Stooges from the 80s? Do you remember the one I'm talking about? It wasn't the actual Three Stooges. It wasn't like a live-action film or anything like that. Well, it was, but, I mean, it didn't have any of the real Three Stooges in it, nor did it, like, was it trying to be a movie with the Three Stooges in it. It was about a guy who, and I'm trying to remember this because it's been years since I've seen this movie, he was obsessed with the Three Stooges. And
yeah,
like,
it seems like I kind of remember that.
And different things would play out in his head, like
they
different
would play
scenes.
Different scenes from the shorts and stuff.
I'd like to track that fucking
movie down. What was the name of that movie?
I don't remember. I'm sure somebody on here listening to this will tell us eventually.
It seems like it was something like My Life with the Stooges or something like that.
I remember bits and pieces of it from when I was a kid, but it's just one of those movies I never really got into. I'd like to see it again now, though, just to see what it was about.
But the studio, I mean, I don't, yeah, I'm like you. I think it's going to be one of those movies that's kind of like a fucking fart in a can or something, or in the wind. Kind of like The Honeymooners when they remade it, like it was in theaters and gone before you could blink.
It doesn't look too good, I'll put it that way. Pretty much everybody that has watched that trailer, it's not even really to me, it's not even the fact that the Three Stooges, I think the guys playing the Three Stooges actually seem to be, have their mannerisms and stuff down pretty well. It's just, the idea of a movie like that doesn't really make any fucking sense. It's like a stupid slapstick comedy or something.
Right, and the thing is, that's why it just don't, I mean, that type of comedy doesn't work now. And the characters, the way they talked, the way their mannerisms, the way they were dressed and everything, it was the 1930s.
Right. And now they're in present day or something dressed the same way. And
yeah, I mean, how does that work? Hey, wise guy, there you go. How the fuck is that? Who calls somebody wise guy now?
I don't know. Are you going to go see it?
No, I will probably see it on DVD or something. That's probably how, that'll probably be an easy one to get for free.
I think we should go see it. Just because I think it could be a fucking car wreck of a movie.
It'd be good on the road. When the fuck does it come out? It doesn't come out until next year.
Yeah, 2012, something, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, that was our little tidbit on fucking the Three Stooges remake or whatever you want to call it.
Let's talk about DVDs and Blu-rays, I guess.
Let's do it.
For December the 20th, you got Straw Dogs on Blu-ray. Goddamn, we reviewed that movie like 2 months ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we're talking about the remake, though.
Oh, is that the fucking remake?
Yeah,
I read that. That's the one with the goofy son of a bitch from True Blood in it. Holy key.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't know who it is.
Also, Survivor Series 2011 on DVD only. I have no idea why, but
yeah. It's another thing. Okay, WWE for a while was releasing like all their fucking pay-per-views on Blu-ray. And now even the big shows, they don't even come out. They're just DVDs.
Like, no, sorry.
I don't get that, but whatever. I mean, that's kind of going backwards, I think.
And here's your favorite trilogy of movies. The Underworld trilogy is coming out on Blu-ray.
Right.
I know you're really looking forward to seeing Kate Beckinsale flop around like a
I've actually
dumbass.
Never seen any of the Underworld movies ever.
Well, count yourself lucky.
Well, good.
That's it, though, for your Blu-ray and DVD releases.
You didn't mention Warrior on here. That's the Ultimate Warrior story.
Bullshit. If it was, that'd be awesome.
I think it's a UFC movie or something. I heard it's pretty good, though.
It ain't what the fuck.
You know, I think there's a UFC coming up with Brock Lesnar. I might try to watch that.
Oh.
I think it's like the day before New Year's.
I would figure it would be almost inevitable at some point that Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar would fight.
I actually think Brock Lesnar, if he doesn't win his next match, he's not going to be in UFC anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because like, he can't lose again.
Has he lost a couple of times? I don't keep up with the UFC.
Keep up with either, but I know that he's lost, like, he pretty much got the shit bit out of him his last fight. So.
Oh, fuck!
Anyway, that is it for the news and the DVD portion. What we're actually going to do is, just when we come back from the break, we're going to get right to the reviews, and that will be the show, folks. I know we'll have some whiners and bitchers, but the show will continue later tonight, Uncle Bill, and that's when you need to join us live.
9 o'clock, Daddy.
For Slippy Sliptastic Auction.
Right down the middle for Slippy Tastic.
And if you don't join us, fuck you, but we'll be back here on
DeadPit.com.
Uncle Bill.
Yeah.
The Creepy Kentuckian says, you better go over to DeadPit.com and buy all of our commentaries.
They're the perfect gift to stock your stuffing with.
Yeah, I like my stocking stuffed, I know what.
You're going to get it stepped on.
Drunken commentaries, fan commentaries, we have it all.
Yeah, we have done over the years multiple commentaries, including like Dawn of the Dead, Troll 2. We've done
Halloween.
Halloween 6 and Halloween. We've done
Halloween 2.
Yeah, we've done
Rob Zombie's Halloween, Twilight.
We've done drunken commentaries, including Hostel and freaking Twilight.
The Fog.
The Fog, which I don't even remember doing that one.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, which is another one we did.
The Revenge of Freeman. But now, it's the Darkest Day of Horror commentaries the world has ever known.
Dark Day, Jessica, Dark Day!
Because we've got two new ones up, you son of a bitch. We got two new ones. One of them...
They're up or they'll be available soon.
They'll be available soon. One of them is a film that's universally despised as one of the worst remakes of all time.
I hate it.
I know you do. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
And the other one is even a worse remake, believe it or not. If you didn't think it could get shittier, oh yes. Shit dipped in shit and coated with AIDS semen is a good way to describe this remake. The Nightmare on Elm Street... remake.
They're going to put that on the cover. It's directed by the dumbass to the Devon music video.
Ooh. Yeah.
So, it's holiday season. Fill yourself up with a bunch of our holiday cheer right
the
in your fucking jaw.
Give Dead Pit. Yeah. Buy one commentary, get the other commentary with the same prize. Only on DeadPit.com. Welcome to the special edition of Dead Pit.
You know what, though? You know what?
It is special. This is the Dead Pit.
This has been the best show we've ever done.
This is the Dead Pit show that rides the short buzz.
We've probably done. How many shows do you think we've done, though, over the years? Let's see. Probably over 200 now, right?
I know it's well over 200. Yeah, we had the 200th show like over a year ago.
Okay, so.
Probably about 250 shows.
Oh, with 250 shows, this is by far the best one we've ever done. I want you to know that.
Yeah, damn right. But announcements to make, Uncle Bill. Some announcements. Some creepy and crappy announcements.
Well, first of all, the biggest announcement is that you need to go over to the Blog TV site and check out Michael Slipcase Felcher's Auction Spectacular.
That's right. It's blogtv.com/people/deadpit.
It's it.
Figure that out. You can go on there at 9 p.m.
I can't wait.
And bid on some Sliptastic horror merch.
Honestly, I have no idea what all he's going to have for sale either. It could be anything. I'm sure a lot of it's signed.
Probably DVDs, posters, artwork of some sort, maybe masks. I don't know what the fuck.
Who knows? It's hard to tell.
It could be anything and everything, and it probably is.
So what other announcements?
And that's like the conclusion of actually this show. It's going to be a kind of like a segment on this show, but it's going to be live. So you get a actually in that chat, you'll get to talk to everybody. Uncle Bill's going to be in there. I'm going to be in there. Felcher's going to be in there. Odds are Steve will be in there.
Steve.
The legendary Steve. Dr. Death Benningfield.
Dr. Death Steve Benningfield. Yeah. He's going to be, yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that will be there. Like, I know James is a big horror memorabilia collector. He'll probably be in there.
You get to, you know, just talk with a bunch of fans of horror, too. So it's always fun.
It's going to be neat.
And also, we want to definitely promote some of our new commentary tracks that are out there. We've got a brand new drunken commentary for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the reimagining, or the remake, whatever you want to call it, from 2003.
And it is, like you said, rapidly becoming one of the best-selling commentaries of all time on the show.
It is. And like I said, for the season, we have Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
Which, I was going to tell you about this, too. I actually went back and watched that movie again, like, a couple days ago, actually.
Yeah.
There's something about that movie. I mean, I know it's a horrible movie and everything, but there is something about it that's very comforting and very, like, it is on almost on, like, a Troll 2 level of being awesome.
Well, the cool thing about that movie, though, too, is it actually has the best death scenes and shit from the first movie.
Mixed with, like, Eric Freeman. Yeah. That's basically the whole fucking movie.
Yeah. Actually, like, the... Probably, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's definitely... I just laugh my ass off at the scene with the girl that was in the Friday the 13th movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Girlfriend or whatever. That's just so insanely shitty. It's awesome.
Which scene are you talking about?
Like where he attacks the,
where he
the boyfriend.
Her? Oh, yeah.
And, like, shocks him or whatever.
She goes, no shit. Like, she's just watched him stick, like, a car battery jack into this guy's mouth till his head explodes. And she goes, she turns around to run. She goes, uh-oh. And, like, fucking runs off. He grabs her and strangles her. Yeah. It's what, that whole movie, though, is just one scene right after another. The actual new scenes in the movie of just hilarious shit.
Yeah, so if you have the movie, you can watch it with our semi-drunken commentary.
Yeah, you really don't even need to be drunk to enjoy that movie, though.
Yeah. And also, we have, like, I don't know, probably 20-some-odd commentaries on there now that you guys can check out.
So buy them now.
Buy them fast.
Them.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to get their last-minute Christmas gift, which I don't know if it'll be there by Christmas now. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
You can go to Dead Pit and get a T-shirt or DVD or whatever else, buddy. It'd be a great little stocking stuffer.
When are we
going to
get bibs?
I don't know.
Dead Pit bibs.
Well, considering that most of the people that listen to Dead Pit don't have any kids, I don't think it'd be a good idea.
That's true. Anyway.
Although Adam Beck's going to have a kid, too.
I know. Congratulations to Adam Beck.
Yeah.
On actually finding out his cock works.
No, it's actually finding out that he has potent semen.
That's right.
Your cock can actually work really well and not have potent semen.
Yeah.
But produces proper baby batter.
In all honesty, though, I do congratulate him on that. And it will be an experience, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll find that out.
It'll be an experiment and figure.
He's going to shit his pants.
Monkey shines.
He'll be like, oh, fuck.
He'll be shitting his pants more than that baby. So, I believe that is it as far as announcements go. We got a couple of reviews we're going to go through rather quickly because, like I said, I don't know if Uncle Bill looked. How come you didn't bring them back down here?
I just forgot to bring them.
Did you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He thinks he's going to pull a fast one and keep all of my Blu-rays.
But I don't want you fucking Blu-rays. I ain't got time to watch that shit anyway.
Don't you?
What am I going to do, sit around and like watch it every day? Oh, wow.
I'm going to watch Maniac Cop again.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, the first one up, Bill Lustig's Maniac Cop, which stars our good buddy Robert Zadar.
Holy shit. I wish that just for 5 or 10 minutes we could tell some of the stories that we know about fucking Robert Zadar on this show. People would fall out of their fucking chairs.
They would shit in a stranger's lawn. Literally.
But, alas, we can't do that.
That wouldn't be right to Robert.
Anyway, this was, I think, by far his most memorable role, and the role that he's most known for, other than the roles he's played in Sylvester Stallone movies, which he's also been in Tango and Cash, and I think he was in Oscar, maybe?
Yeah, everybody remembers those movies.
Yeah. Also, Oscar. there's a fucking hilarious story behind what happened with his relationship with Sylvester Stallone, but we can't tell that story either. So I'll just have to take all these killer stories I have to my grave.
Yeah, so Robert Zadar is the maniac cop. It's a role that pretty much anybody could have played.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I don't think he really ever says anything in that movie.
He doesn't say anything. You only see his actual face like a couple of times in it.
He was a police officer, though, that was it that he got wrongly accused? And
I think he kind of got framed.
Framed and thrown into jail. And then while he's in jail, a group of inmates basically beats the shit out of him and cuts up his face really bad. He ends up, I guess the implication is he dies. And then, like,
he returns from the grave.
Returns from the grave as the maniac cop who seeks vengeance on...
Who kills...
Everything.
The innocent, violently, one by one.
Yeah, and that's basically the whole plot of the movie. I know Bruce Campbell's in it as well.
Tom Atkins is in it.
As is Tom Atkins, yeah. It was Bruce Campbell's like the young cop. Tom Atkins is the old grizzled veteran cop. That motherfucker played more old cops than anybody, I think.
Yeah. Interesting, though, is like a lot of, well, not a lot, but a couple of times in Bill Lustig movies, like at least, you know, Bruce Campbell's kind of the good guy in it. But they give him a sense of realism. Like, he cheats on his wife in the beginning of the movie. And his wife is murdered by the maniac cop as well. And he is kind of the number one suspect for the police. So they lock his ass up. And, you know, sooner or later, I think who... The hot blonde, I cannot remember her name, but she's been in a couple of movies.
I don't remember her name either. Yeah. shit.
It's one of those occasions where it'd be good to have the Blu-ray case.
But no!
It's down there. Jess is enjoying it.
You give me a couple minutes, I'll figure it out. I'll think of it again.
Anyway, she's not been anything forever, but for a while she was in some low-budget horror stuff or whatever. She's also a detective, and, you know, they're both kind of, them along with Tom Atkins are trying to get to the bottom of, you know, what's really going on, which, of course, like we said, the maniac cop is, you know, taking out his own form of justice.
There is actually a lot of good scenes in this movie, though. I mean, even, especially the scene where he's attacked in the prison. I thought that scene was pretty well shot and, like, really
And I effective. Gotta say, too, like, I was, Maniac Cop, and I think we watched it on the DVD that I believe Synapse did the DVD of it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did.
And the transfer on that was pretty good, but it wasn't one of those movies where I thought this movie could really look great on Blu-ray. But it does. It really does look really good. Like, it's not one of those that... You know, like we were saying, the Midnight Madness shit that they just kind of throw out there, and it's basically a DVD with a Blu-ray case.
Right. No, this is actually a good transfer. I don't think Blue Underground ever really fucks around that much with their transfers. I mean, they never look bad. They always have a really good restoration, especially fucking Zombie. Like, good God.
Yeah, I think they put a lot of money in that one in particular.
Yeah, but... A couple of things about this movie, I guess if anybody remembers things from it, it would be the soundtrack, which is basically just whistling, which is one of the more memorable parts about the whole movie.
Right.
I guess maybe just the look of Robert Zadar as the maniac cop, and unfortunately, and I do agree with you on this, the movie goes great. It's action-packed and actually very well shot and acted and everything. Up until the very end, and once see, I think you actually see the maniac cop because the makeup's completely fucked up in it. That was one of the problems. I think Lustig talked about that too. Was there's way so too many variations of the makeup throughout the movie, and when you see it in the end, like the actual what he looks like and everything, it doesn't look good at all.
Yeah, it looks like makeup, especially in high def.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
And the, I always kind of wanted to turn the movie off, too, once they get to the parade and shit.
Yeah.
Just because it really, I just don't care. Like, you know, most horror movies don't have the climax scene with a ton of people in the daytime at a, you know, especially in a parade. So it just, the end does nothing for me. But the movie overall is actually pretty good. I gotta say, I think when we watched it initially, like, I was just thinking of the end scene, and I remembered it not being a very good experience. But it's actually a lot better than I remembered it being overall.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where if I had to sum it up, I'd say it's like a mid-card movie. Meaning it's not
like
one.
Like a Kofi Kingston.
It is. It really is. It's
never
like,
going to get in that upper echelon of.
It never will. It doesn't matter what they do to it. But then again, it'll never be like a really bad movie or anything either. It's just one of those movies that's kind of there.
It'll never be like a Rob Conway.
No. Or Paul Burchill or anything
Paul
like that.
Paul Montoya.
Yeah. It's just there. Not a movie that I go to, although some people like it more than others. I know Goose loves it. Like, that's one of his favorite movies and
he
things
wants to
too.
Make a Maniac Cop fan movie.
But if you're into Lustig, if you're into vigilante movies,
Goose
that kind
is
of
the real life Maniac Cop.
Yes. I hate you. He beats the shit out of people. I do remember some of the special features on it because I watched some of them. They had the Maniac Cop Memories featurette, which was the one that Felcher did, which, once again, you need to watch it. And then after you get done watching it, you decide, like, what was going on during that featurette.
And is it Robert Zadar, or is it a catcher's mitt?
Exactly. And there's commentary with Lustig, I do know that. I think that those are the only things I can remember off, like, right off the bat.
Yeah. Luckily, we have to remember it, though, because we don't have the case to actually say what's on it.
Well, the Maniac Cop Memories one does feature Robert Zadar, and it does feature Tom Atkins, and it does feature the woman that we can't think of her name.
Yeah. But we would know it. We would be able to look and see who it was. Their name's something like Lorraine something.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't even think it's on the fucking
I'm
Blu-ray.
It is.
I don't really think it is.
I'm positive it is.
I swear I don't
think
it is.
You want to bet something?
Yeah, what do you want to bet?
Okay, here's what we'll bet. I will bet my Maniac Cop Blu-ray. If you will bet your... What the fuck do you have? Your House by the Cemetery Blu-ray.
I want to do that.
On the back of it.
I like that movie.
Well, name a Blu-ray then, fucker. We'll bet, fucker.
Fucker.
Fuck what? You try to give me one of them fucking After Dark movies. Fuck you.
Let's do that then. We'll give you one of them After Dark ones. You haven't even watched the other one. You don't know if it's in count or not.
I will watch the other one.
Isn't it Laura?
I think it's Lorraine. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't think of anything, really.
Yeah. But the bet will stand if you can actually pick something worth a fuck.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to that, though.
So, anyway, go ahead and talk about House by the Cemetery, since I didn't get to see it.
Well, you've got the
asshole
poster. I'm looking at the poster of it right now, actually. This movie was the last of the trilogy of movies that Lucio Fulci is probably best known for, which was See the Living Dead, The Beyond, House by the Cemetery. This one takes place in Boston, if I'm not mistaken, in Massachusetts. And how to explain this movie anyway? This is a haunted house movie first and foremost, and probably the most restrained, I guess, of any of his movies. Like, it's not a gore fest like the rest of them.
Yeah, I think people like House by the Cemetery mainly for its kind of atmosphere, and it doesn't really, I don't know, I mean, it doesn't really have, like most other Fulci's movies are just completely just off the wall, insane from pretty much the first minute. Like, the first 5 minutes of a Fulci movie, you're going to get some good gore scene of some sort. But in this one, it's just a slow. And the thing I think Fulci doesn't get credited for is all of those movies, in their own way, of the original, a lot of people call them like the Gates of Hell trilogy or something like that, with the Beyond, City of the Living Dead, and the Zombie or whatever. Those movies also had an atmosphere in each of the movies in some form. The first, Zombie, it had that tropical look to it, that specific design. And the Gates of Hell and the Beyond were kind of similar. I mean, they had just a dark, slow, foggy flow to them with this creepy fucking music throughout. And they also had, all three of those movies had a shitload of gore. And I think that he tried in House by the Cemetery to just do a movie that was primarily paced, slowly paced, relied a lot on that atmosphere. And there are a couple of gore scenes in it. But really, compared to the other movies, I mean, it's kind of really, it's definitely Fulci light when it comes to the gore shit.
Yeah, so I guess the plot of the film, if there is like a real plot to it, is that Catriona McCall and her husband move into this new house, and they take along Bob, who's their child.
Bobby!
And right when they get there, immediately like upon getting into this new town they live in, Bob meets up with this other little girl, who we'll call redheaded girl number one.
Little firecracker,
yeah. Who, they have some sort of psychic connection throughout the film in it. And basically she's trying to warn him that not to go into this house, that there's something wrong with this house, and she's seen all these visions and all these things that go on inside there. But of course, nobody heeds the warning of that, and they go ahead and move into the house, which is inhabited by Dr. Freudstein, actually more aptly, the corpse of this guy. That's like this.
I call him Dr. Shitstein.
Right. This is a maniacal kind of doctor. I don't know what he's supposed to be in the film. Like the makeup design. Like I don't really know what that is. It looks like a.
Looks like he just threw mud on his face.
Like a zombie, I guess, but a really weird looking design there. Anyway, the basement is the primary place where a lot of this supernatural stuff goes down.
Where magic
happens. It is. And one by one, people that come into the house start to get murdered in the basement until the final climax is that Bob is trying to get away from the creatures that are coming up, and his parents are sucked into it.
I wonder how many little or movies little Bob was in back in the day. He's in a lot of them, it seems like. Wasn't he in one of the, wasn't he in Macabre or something like that?
He was in Don't Torture a Duckling, wasn't he?
No, I think Don't Torture a Duckling was almost 10 years before that. I don't know, though. He's been in a bunch of shit.
There was something else, yeah. But,
I gotta admit, though, like, to me, House by the Cemetery is not one of my favorite Fulci movies, not one of the ones that I'd go back and watch that often. I mean, I remember I was really excited when Anchor Bay released the DVD because that was the last big Fulci movie. It was the last one to come out from Anchor Bay. But I remember even then I was totally let down by it. I expected a whole lot more from it. At the same time, it's still around that period where Fulci stuff, like looking back at it now, is really not that bad of a movie at all. But if you compare it to, I mean, to me, there's no comparison, with Zombie, The Beyond, Gates of Hell, or even something like New York Ripper, which I've always been a big fan of that one. It just doesn't have the oomph to it or whatever.
Yeah, as I've watched it over the years, though, it really has grown on me. it's one that when I first saw it, I really didn't like it at all because it's completely different from either one of those movies that you mentioned. But it does have like its own charm, mostly in the fact of the child actors that play it and how like odd and bizarre their voiceover work and stuff is in it too. But also in the fact that it is his most restrained movie, but it's also probably his most fucking atmospheric movie as well. And the more you go back and watch it, the more that you really do start to enjoy it, I think, too. Although it's not one that's going to please people that are huge fans of, like, a lot of the scenes in something like The Beyond, where it's just gore after gore after gore and stuff like that, too.
Yeah. So how was the Blu-ray since I didn't get to see it?
The Blu-ray is good. It's, like, on par with some of the other Fulci Blu-rays, not as good as the Zombie Blu-ray. I don't think I've ever seen anything that actually is as good as the
Zombie Blu-ray. Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe when, although we both already have The Beyond on the Arrow Blu-ray, but I'm hoping, like, whenever they eventually release it in the U.S., which who knows when the fuck that'll be,
mm-hmm.
that they might give that one the similar same treatment, because that's just an amazing, I mean, the way that movie's shot. I mean, I could only imagine, like, the Arrow Blu-ray looks great.
It does, yeah.
But, you know, if somebody like Don May Jr., somebody got a hold of that Beyond print, or, you know, I mean, I would love to see that one, because to me, I think the Beyond is his most visual movie.
It is. I mean, that's one thing I'll give Fulci credit for, in terms of, if you go back and watch Zombie, City of the Living Dead, The Beyond, and House by the Cemetery, yeah, they're all kind of the same in terms of the plots and things like that, but the way he executes those movies are completely different. Like, all those movies are completely unique, and that's really, like, a credit to him as a director, that he can take similar themes like that and turn it into a movie that's just something that you've never seen before. Like, The House by the Cemetery is completely different from Zombie, and Zombie is completely different from The Beyond, and it's like no two of those movies are exactly the same at all.
That's true. But actually, I think The Beyond would be a great commentary to do, series commentary.
Yeah, that would be a good one. We never really done any European
we never have.
Films.
But we could.
We should.
Anyway, The House by the Cemetery Blu-ray is actually out now. Blue Underground has it out. Blue Underground, consistently. I think Blue Underground sent apps as far as the genre stuff.
Arrow. Arrow is another one that's like right up there now.
There's actually a big sale on Arrow stuff recently, too, and I got in on that. I've spent so much fucking money on not only gifts for other people, but shit for myself.
Yeah.
Because the sales are so good. I mean, fucking $13.99 for some of the Arrow stuff shipped.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to get some of that shit.
You got to do it. Ain't no getting around it.
Got to do it.
But I do remember most of the special features off House by the Cemetery because I just recently watched those two.
Well, tell us.
McCall, Paolo Marco, I think, or Paolo Fierco or something like that. Who's the guy?
Paolo Malco.
And
Did we meet him? He was one
we
of
did, yeah. 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 When we were at the Whorehound show. But also, there is, amazingly enough, interviews with Giovanni Frezza, which is Bob.
Yeah, because all this shit, I think they did all this shit at Whorehound.
They did, yeah. That's where they got all these interviews and stuff, too. And the little redheaded girl, who I swear to God, her name escapes
she's
me.
She's fucking sexy as shit, though.
She is. She's still
holy
very
shit.
Oh my God, she's
still
like,
man. She was fucking 7 years old in that movie.
No, I mean she's got to be up there in age. That movie was made in like 82, so she would be if she was 7 years old. Then she'd be what?
She wouldn't be that much older than us, man.
She'd probably be 40 years old, close to 40 years
35,
old.
36 years old.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. She, I mean, for that age, looks amazingly good.
Bob actually kind of looks the same.
He does. He looks like, I just like he's gotten a little bit taller, but basically looks exactly the same in the face.
Still has the blonde hair and stuff, kind of.
So there's interviews. There is actually an interview with Antonella Fulci, Lucio Fulci's daughter, on there as well.
Yeah. I wonder if we can get an interview with her.
I wish. I don't know, though.
Does she
speak speaks some broken English.
Probably
but,
not, then. Fuck it.
Also, though, there's an interview with the composer,
Fabio Fritti.
Yeah, there you go. And there's another interview with the woman who, I don't even really know who she is. She was one of the ones that got murdered in the film.
Baklava Martini.
Yeah. Baklava Martini.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought it was.
So, pretty much the whole main cast of the film is interviewed on there.
Right.
And you've also got Lucio Fulci's daughter that's interviewed on
there. Well, I mean, the deal breaker for me was the interview with Baklava Martini.
Yeah. That was a good one.
She's a squirter.
Yeah. Baklava Martini. So.
But anyway, House by the Cemetery, actually, I think we both own part of House by the Cemetery, too, which right. is kind of cool. I don't know. Have you misplaced yours? Because I actually kept, I knew it was so small, I knew I would lose it.
Uh-huh.
So I actually have it somewhere I know I'll never lose it.
I do, too.
Mine's in, actually, the House by the Cemetery DVD case.
That's a good idea. Here's the thing, though. This should be the thing that sells you on buying this movie as well. All the special features were done by who? Or not all of them, but actually the main featurettes. Slippy.
David Gregory.
No, they were done by Slippy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's, I guess you could, some people might care about that.
Buddy, fuck, everybody cares about that.
But we're doing Slippy enough fucking favors doing this auction.
He is a
asshole.
I mean, really, I was trying to think about this the other night when I was watching it. Do you know anybody else, though, who is as well-known for doing that kind of shit as him?
He's only well-known for doing that kind of shit because we promote him.
I'm serious, though. There's nobody else that does that consistently like that on That's all true. These releases.
In all seriousness, Sleepy is, even though he tries to come off like an asshole a lot of the times, he is a really nice guy, and I like helping Sleepy out because I like him.
Yeah. So anytime you see red shirt pictures on anything, and I'm dead serious about this, it's usually pretty good. The quality's good.
It's usually excellent.
Yeah.
So, that is it for this week. Again, this is not an abbreviated show. The show will continue 9 p.m. tonight, Friday night, the 16th, live on blogtv.com. We want to make this huge so Sleepy can have a great Christmas.
Yeah, because Lord knows he needs money.
Yeah. They're not paying him enough money doing all these special features.
Easy, $20,000.
So, we'll see you guys later tonight on Blog TV. It's Slippy Sliptastic Horror Auction. Brought to you by
DeadPit.com.
We'll see you there. We'll see you there.
Bye-bye. Bye fucking bye. Bye-bye-bye.
Here we go.
But the wide window sings songs and like she's singing. Just like the wide window sings songs and like she's singing. As the days go by like a strand in the wind, I'm gonna play with my bud and jack it off again. Say my friend, nothing else matters.
Nothing else.
Jack my dong, play with it all night long before you.
Play with it all night long for you. I like that.
Just like the wild wing bird sings songs and like she's singing. Ooh, baby, ooh, sing, ooh. Just like the wild wing bird sings songs and like she's singing. Ooh, baby, ooh. If you don't like that pit, you can suck my fucking dog. God.